his lives changed. And Jesus had come and began his ministry. Yesterday was Epiphany. And Epiphany is often associated with the Magi coming to the manger and offering gifts to Jesus as a baby. And from taking a step back and looking at it then, it's also kind of an announcement that Jesus was here. His presence was revealed. There's an old story about an Alaskan Eskimo hunter who had a conversation with a Presbyterian minister. And the hunter asked the preacher, if someone didn't know about Jesus, if they had not heard of Jesus, would they go to hell? And the preacher looked back at him and said, well, no. No, if they didn't know about Jesus, then they would not go to hell. And the hunter looked at him and said, so why did you tell me? Well, the message is, when you get the news, it's supposed to make change in your life. And as I prepared the message this morning, I wondered to myself, well, preacher, you've heard the news. Has your life been changed? And it's, I guess, a question that, you know, we could all ask of ourselves. I think in our scripture this morning, Mark is trying to share the news that Jesus has come to people who, some who believed, some who maybe had heard about it but had not really taken the message in, and maybe some that had heard the message and did not believe. And so Mark is saying, yes, Jesus is here. And yes, Jesus is God here on earth. And he has authority and he has power to change lives. And he spent his entire earthly ministry trying to do just that. Mark reveals to us that Jesus is the, and he refers to it as the Son of Man, who has been revealed. And his works will be works of mercy and restoration. So let's kind of look at the story. Jesus was back home. He was apparently living in Capernaum. And he was teaching. It's sort of like in my mind, I couldn't help but think of Bill yesterday and many, many, many others who returned home from World War II. And Nancy, Bill's one of Bill's sisters, recalls when Bill returned home in full uniform with his overcoat on, and Nancy was younger. Now, Bill's a short man. But she said, in his uniform, he looked so big. When he returned home. Maybe that's what some of the people who crowded around Jesus' house, both inside and outside, so many of them that you couldn't get through the door. Maybe his message was so big, his words were so powerful, touching so many hearts, that he drew that big crowd. And the next thing we hear is that four friends brought their friend who was paralyzed. And the commentaries will say, well, you know, it may not be paralyzed, but maybe he had a limp or, you know, something that affected his mobility, made it very, very hard for him to get around. And so they brought him to Jesus' house and couldn't get in. Now, these friends must have been believers, must have had faith in Jesus, and were committed to their friends. And so what did they do? And there's a couple of interesting possibilities here. One says that the roof was a thatched roof, and they dug through the roof to get access to Jesus. Others say it was a tile roof, which makes it even more, you know, clay tiles, and they're going to have to take up these tiles to be able to. Picture Jesus teaching the crowd, and maybe it's thatched pieces falling down in front of him. Maybe it's the tiles being taken off the roof. Now, whether Jesus owned the house he was living in or whether he was, you know, just a guest in the house, I'm sure that was kind of a startling event. But they lowered the paralyzed man to Jesus. They were people of faith. And Jesus looked at the man and said, your sins are forgiven. One of the translations says, Jesus saw the man. He didn't see him as a man. He saw all of him, the physical and the spiritual. I think sometimes it made me pause and think to myself, you know, sometimes we're guilty of seeing the physical, but not seeing the whole person. You know, we all walk down the roads of life, and we all have difficulties from time to time in life. And others may see us physically, but not see us as a person who is having some struggles. Jesus saw not only the man, but the four friends that had brought him to him. And so Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees, now the Pharisees get a bad rap. The Pharisees were followers of the law. They were doing what the law told them to do, trying to live their lives according to what the law told them to do. But some of them were prideful. And so not only were they trying to live the law the way they saw it, they wanted to decide how you were supposed to live the law for you. And that's where the rub came in. But the Pharisees, who were, let's say that they were good people, not bad people. The Pharisees said, "What? Now, wait a minute. Who are you to forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin." I think that's one of the beauties of Scripture, is that there'll be little points like this where, you know what, fellas? You got it more right than you know. And Jesus said, "Okay. Is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier for me to say, okay, dude, get up and walk. Pick up your mat and go home." And I'm wondering what they thought when that's what happened. You know, we all find ourselves on a mat from time to time. And sometimes we're able to pick ourselves up and walk. And other times we need some help to pick up ourselves and walk. And that help can be medical help. Sometimes that may be spiritual help. And so then we move on to the next scene. Mark is a gospel that just goes from one thing to another thing to another thing. Oftentimes you'll read, "Immediately Jesus went. Immediately Jesus did this." And so it's really pretty fast-paced. So we get just the facts, but there's also some mystery. How did that happen? What happened between the time that he healed the paralyzed man and was walking on the lakeshore? And what made him pick Levi, who we know as Matthew? Why didn't he pick somebody else? Why did he pick a tax collector? You know, there's really not explanation. Oftentimes in Matthew and Luke, you get a little bit more information and you can, oh, okay, that sort of makes sense. I understand that. Where Mark, you kind of have to say, oh, well, maybe this happened or maybe that happened. So anyhow, Jesus is walking along and he's teaching as he's walking, and he picks Levi as his to be his one of his disciples. And later on, when Levi's having everybody at his house for dinner, the Pharisees say, "What are you doing eating with them?" The way some of us today might say, he's eating with those people. And I love his answer. "I didn't come to save those who think they are righteous. I came to save sinners, those who are sick." Do we from time to time think we are righteous like the Pharisees and be pointing our fingers at those people? And finally, we get to these last little couple snippets at the end. And they can be a little bit confusing. So Jesus says, "Well, you would never sew a piece of new cloth on an old garment." And the reason for that, I'm not a seamstress, but the reason for that apparently was that if you take a new piece of cloth and cover up a tear. The new and the old won't really mend together properly because that new little square or whatever is not kind of broken in. And so the tear, instead of being mended, over time will actually get worse. For me, the new wineskin thing was the part that stood out. So apparently, if you have an old wineskin and you put new wine into it and cap it up, the new wine will expand and burst the old wineskin. But if you take a new wineskin and pour new wine into it, the new wineskin has room to expand. Now, we're in a Methodist church, but I'm going to tell you that I think that means that we're the wineskins. And we've brought with us all of the things that we've brought with us. And we think that that's the way. I got it down. This is the way that it is. And something new comes along. His name was Jesus. And our old wineskins, we're having trouble stretching to be able to take in that new. And so I think what we need to do is try to make ourselves into that new wineskin. It may require us to change. Not all change is bad. Some change is good. And so it's my prayer for all of us here today that our lives would be changed by the revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen.